Begin. We are up to, okay, this week is Parsha Shmini and Parshas Parah. Double header, two Sefer Torah this week. Okay, Pasuk, the beginning of the Parsha begins with the Miluim. It's the eighth day of Hibayim HaShmini, it's the eighth day of the Miluim, according to most of the Rishonim. This took place on the first day of Nisan, Rosh Chodesh Nisan. This was the day HaKadosh Baruch Hu was waiting for, Lo Hayitzarech HaTorah LaHaschil Ela B'HaChodesh HaZeh Lochem. Right, the Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, and Hashem gave us really the Torah began with HaChodesh HaZeh Lochem Rosh Chodashim, which simply means that's the first mitzvah. But on a deeper level, it refers to the day of Rosh Chodesh Nisan, that glorious day when HaKadosh Baruch Hu would rest His Shechina in this world in the Beis HaMikdash. Hashem was waiting for Parsha Shmini, because Parsha Shmini was the eighth day of the Miluim. The Miluim began on the 23rd day of Adar, and for the next 7 days, Moshe Rabbeinu would erect the Mishkan and take it apart. And finally, on the eighth day of the Miluim, which was the first day, Rosh Chodesh Nisan, it's now, HaChodesh HaZeh Lochem Rosh Chodashim, now Moshe transferred his authority, his koach, to Aaron. Aaron was now in charge of the Mishkan. The Shekhinah rested. The fire came down from heaven. Hashem's Shekhinah rested in the Mishkan. Hashem had now for himself a permanent residence in this world. This was the tafkid of the Bria. This is really a high point in the year. When we go to the parashas, we just don't go to the parashas. We also experience what actually is written in the parasha. And Parsha Shmini as a very significant point in the Torah, because when we begin the Chumash Bereishis, we learned from Rabbeinu Yitzchak that the Torah really should have began with HaChodesh HaZeh Lochem Rosh Chodashim. It doesn't just mean Parsha Spo, the first mitzvah, but it means the actual day of Rosh Chodesh Nisan, which the Mishkan was complete and the Shekhinah rested upon this world. This is something to keep in mind. It's a powerful parasha. Now, what happened when Moshe, when it was completed? Vayisa Aaron es yadav el ha'am vayivarechem. Aaron, he lifted up his hands and he blessed Klal Yisrael. Vayir me'asos ha'chatas v'oila v'ashlamim. And he came down from doing the chatas, the oila, and the shlamim. Okay, just a few short little points. Nothing very significant here. There is a krivach sif. It says Vayisa Aaron es yadav. We read it yadav with the yud, but it's spelled in the Torah yadav. Okay, the Balkari, very easy. The Balkari make a mistake. If you don't pay attention, you can say yadav because there is no yud, but we read it yadav. Where else do we have this concept of yadav and yadav? We have it by Moshe Rabbeinu giving smicha to Yoshua. When Moshe Rabbeinu was told to give smicha to Yoshua, Hashem told Yoshua, you shall give smicha, put one hand upon Yehoshua. And what did Moshe Rabbeinu do? Moshe was generous. Vayismoch yadav. Moshe Rabbeinu on Yeshua, he put two hands. And the Chazal, they elaborate, and Moshe Rabbeinu would teach us the ideal Rebbe. The ideal Rebbe is to be generous. That although he only is required to give a Talmud only that much, you only have to work 9 to 5. Moshe Rabbeinu taught Klal Yisrael that a Rebbe has to work. There is no such thing as 9 to 5. You have to be semech shtei yadav. Moshe molei v'godosh, Chazal say. Not just, he didn't fill up Yahushua Torah, molei v'gadosh, heaping, a heaping measure of Torah, of generosity, of love, to his Talmud Yahushua, by putting both hands upon his head. We have the same exact theme over here when it comes to Aaron. One of the unique things about Birchas Chayim, by the way, what is the bracha that Aaron gave Klal Yisrael? The bracha that Aaron gave Klal Yisrael was Birchas Koyhanim. Rashi says here on the Pasuk, it's a Perek, I know Mr. Rapport, he's Baruch Hashem, he's on the mark. He's marking down the Pesukim, it's Perek Tes Pasuk Chof Aleph, Vayisa Aaron es Yadav, and La'am Yivarechem, Rashi Pasuk of Beit says, Birchas Koyhanim. And Rashi goes on to say, Yivarechecha Yo'eren Yisa. It's very interesting. Why does Rashi have to tell us what is Birchas Koyhanim? Don't we know what Birchas Koyhanim is? Rashi, he says what Birchas Koyhanim is. There's a Balaturim, the Gematria, Zacha, okay, whatever, but this is Birchas Koyhanim. Now the question is, and how, when the Kohanim make the bracha, what's the bracha? Asher kedushanu b'mitzvos, asher kedushanu b'kedushas shel Aaron, v'tzivanu levarech es amo Yisrael be'ahava, with love. Why do you give a yashar koyach to the Kohanim when they finish doing, when the Kohanim finish doing birchas koyach, why do you give a yashar koyach? Just remind me of the joke. I told you this joke once before. May you know the joke. Why do you give a yashar koyach? Because they're the only ones who can clean out all the rabbanim from the front. Try to tell them. Right, the kohanim go to the front. What happens? The whole mizrach clears out. You go. Try to tell all the rebbes. Arois. Go tell the rebbes. Arois. Leave. They'll look at you. They'll tell you to leave. But the kohanim, when they go to the front, all of the people in the mizrach, they leave. So when the kohanim finish doing the avodah, you say to them, "Yashar koyach, you accomplished what none of us could accomplish." Okay, but on a serious note, why do you say to them? Why do you give them a yashar koyach? Because they went overboard. They only have an obligation to say the words Yivarechacha Yoher Yisa. They don't have an obligation to give it the ahava with love. The love is a bonus. That's the bonus. Asher k'dushanu b'kdushasa shel Aaron v'tzivanu l'vorechas amo Yisrael be'ahava. Very unique bracha. They go overboard. Where is it rooted? Where do they derive their makar to go overboard to give it be'ahava? It comes from this pasuk, because the command was only b'rachas kohanim. It's not muchach. It has to be with two hands. It's spelled in the Torah yado with one hand, and the kriya is yadav. We read it with two hands. Aaron went overboard. He wasn't required to give Klal Yisrael an extra dosage, just a simple bracha. One hand is enough. You pick up your one hand, you put your one hand on the person's head, that's good enough. Aaron said, no, I want to give it b'shefa, with abundance. Just like Chazal explicitly tell us about Moshe and Yoshua, Moshe was only instructed to give smicha to Yoshua with one hand. Moshe went overboard and bestowed smicha to Yoshua with two hands. And Chazal comment, Mole the Gadol, she went overboard. Aaron went overboard with Yadav, with an extra dosage of love to give bracha to Klal Yisrael. That is the makar for all kohanim to follow their ancestor Aaron HaKohen, to give shefa bracha be'ahava with a double dosage of two hands. Now it's also very interesting to keep in mind, he came down from the Chatas Oil of Hashem. So I saw something very interesting. We have three brachas. The reason why Rashi is telling us Yivarecha Yon Yisa is because the three brachas, Birchas Kohanim, they correspond to the three korbanos. Yivarecha, may Hashem bless you. What is Yivarecha? Which of the the first bracha is Yivarechacha Hashem v'yishmerecha. May He guard you. What do you want Hashem to guard you from? Sin. The worst thing you could have in this world is sin. What does that correspond to? The chatas. The chatas is mechaper on chatoim. Yoyer Hashem panav elecha v'chunecha. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu shine. That refers to a carbon oil. A carbon oil is a gift. It's not, it's vichuneka chayin, grace. It's not something which you're obligated to do. Why do you like, when we say that a person has chayin, what does that mean? Chayin is a matnas chinam. You like a person because you like him. Many times you cannot identify why you like a person, not because he's wealthy, not because he's smart. You like a person because you like a person. Chayin comes from the word chinam. An ola is a offering that you give for free. It's chinam. The second bracha corresponds to the carbon ola. The third bracha of Yisro Hashem panav elecha v'yaseim l'cha shalom perfectly fits in line with the third carbon of shlamim. Shlamim is not coming for kapara. It's not coming to, as a burnt offering. It's coming to make peace between men and Kadosh Baruch Hu. It makes peace between men and men, because the kohanim and your family, everyone is allowed to eat from the carbon shlamim, whatever it means. But the word shlamim comes with shalom. Chazal tells it makes peace. So we have here the reason why Aaron here at this point in time, he gave forth the Berichos Kehanim, is because he came down, as the pasuk explicitly says, Vayered, he came down, Me'asois, Hachatos, Ve'ho'oila, Ve'hashalamim. Chatos is Yivarechacha, Ho'oila is Yo'er, Hashlamim is, as the third bracha of Yisra, Hashem panav elecha v'yaseim l'cha shalom. What's so interesting is we have the custom to say this bracha every single day after we recite Berachas HaTorah. Why? Why do we recite this pasuk? Why do we recite the Birchas Kohanim every single day? So we have to say a pasuk. You don't want to be Brachah Levatolos, so you want to say a pasuk in the Torah. There are 60 letters. Oh, there are 100 different answers. There are 60 letters, 60 mesechtes, so on and so forth. But one of the reasons is because since we're reciting the Birchas HaTorah as part of the Nusach HaTfilah, and the Nusach HaTfilah is in place of Korbanos, Uneshalma Forim Sifaseinu, and not every single person gets around to saying the Kavana, every word of the Korbanos, but the whole essence of Tfilah is B'mkoyim Korbanos. So since the very first time Korbanos were offered on the Yom HaMiluim, the very first time Korbanos were offered, here it is, Yom HaShmini, they bring Korbanos and Aaron comes down, and the response to bring the Korbanos is Yivarechecha and Yoher and Yisa. That's why we have a custom when we begin davening and we recite Birchas HaTorah, we select the pasuk, the bracha that results from bringing Korbanos. Tfila is in the Shalom of Fonim Sifaseinu, B'mkoyim HaTfilah. And if you just want to tie it back to what we said before, just like Aaron, he went overboard. Aaron did it B'shtei Yadav, even though it's written Yadai, and we read it Yadav. It's also a polite reminder that a person, there's no limit to how far a person can go in the Koyach HaTfilah. A person should not be mitzamzim and say no, only daven the shortest possible. A person should be like Aaron. Aaron, he went overboard. When Aaron responded to the Korbanos of the Chatas Olav Yashlam with a bracha of Birchas Kehanim, it was b'shtei yadav, it was b'ahava. When a person is mispalda Kadosh Baruch Hu for bracha, a person should give it all he got. He shouldn't just be mispalda with one hand, he should be mispalel with two hands. When the person davens the ikut suratul, the time chazal was to lift up your hands. Esa kapayel Hashem. He's supposed to lift up your hands. The tzur of tefer prayer is to hold your hands up. We don't do this bizman, I said, because it became detestable because of the goyim that follow this custom. But the tzur of tefillah is to lift up your hands. V'haya kasha yarim Moshe yodoy v'govar Yisrael. Here we have a Musar Haskel in the bracha of Korbanos of not Yodoy, but Yodav. You should go overboard, you should be mispalo with a Hislavus, not just with one yad, but follow in the midah of Aaron to be mispalo with Yodav, with two, with a double dosage, a double Yadayim. Okay, let's go to another short idea. We have here in this parsha, this is a very short idea, the parsha, the Sreifa, the Misa of the Shnei Banav Shel Aaron. It's a very tragic parsha. It's a very, very tragic parsha where the two children of Aaron died, Nadav Aviyu, on the day of the Miluim, the Lamakar and Eish Zorah Shalotziva, some Chazav, a long list of reasons, possible things that they had done, why they were deserving to die, and they died. And they will mark of an Ezra by Musul of Ne Hashem. So it says that Hashem, Moshe told Aaron that you and your son should not mourn because today is your big day. Today you are the Kohen Gadol. Your two sons also, you have a din of a Kohen Gadol. It's the first day of Avoda. So you do not accustom yourself to the laws of Avelos. Instead, Achechem b'nei Yisrael yivku es asreif asher stodaf Hashem. Let everyone in Klal Yisrael take your place. They will mourn for your children, for Nadav v'Aviyu. The question is, why does it say B'loshan Ram? V'chol Beis Yisrael Yivku, they will cry. It's written B'loshan Osit. Why is it Yivku, they will cry? So it's interesting that we know that on Yom Kippur, there's an Inyan. It's a very, very, very difficult concept, but there's an Inyan. On Yom Kippur, we read Parshas Achrimos, the Parsha of the Avod of Yom HaKippurim, and it begins with Achrimos Shnei B'nei Aaron, after the Parsha of the Avod of Yom HaKippurim was given to Aaron, after the death of Aaron's two sons. And Chazal tell us that everyone should try to cry on Yom Kippur over the death of Aaron's two sons, and if a person brings himself to tears, he's muftach, the Rachman al Tzlan, he should not have in his lifetime a tzara like this in his lifetime. So there is such a thing that the Misas B'nei Aaron goes with us for all generations. It's hinted to in this idea that it's Yivku, B'loshan Rabin. It's not just that moment in time. Grammatically speaking, the Pasuk should have said that you, Aaron, and your children, you cannot mourn because you are the Kohanim of the day. Let Klal Yisrael cry for the loss. But it should not have been written B'loshan Osid. it's hint the fact that the pasuk is written b'lashon also hints to the fact that the death of these children will be mourned for Klal Yisrael throughout all of the generations. B'lashon also yifku of chol beis Yisrael yifku es hasreif asher saraf Hashem. Now let's go a step further. The Mefarshim explain another level. Why is it b'lashon also? It's a general idea. Because a person doesn't really appreciate the loss of another person until many years later. B'shas Maisa, when a person dies, okay, it's a very great tragedy that a person is no longer here. But as time passes, a person naturally appreciates the loss. How much different the world would have been, how much different they would have been, their family would have been, things would have been had this person lived a little bit longer. So it's b'lashon osit. It's not possible for a person to fully appreciate the impact of a loss until a future point in time. It's a general Musar Haskel that time, what mashiyase hazman lo yase haseichel. And that fits very much in line with the other idea of Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, what is a person really crying about on Yom Kippur? The person is doing tshuva on Yom Kippur. Again, this pasuk of Yivka B'lashon Osset alludes to the fact that Klal Yisrael are going to mourn over the children of Aaron and all generations. Because on Yom Kippur, what are you really crying about? You're crying that it could have been a better year. Things could have been different. Had a person not sinned, had he not gone down a path of avera, of sin, then things could have been different. That only is appreciated and understood in hindsight. So just like we have the idea of the Bnei Aaron and Tzivka Allah Osid, that a person appreciates the loss of a person at a later point in time, likewise in our own lives, not even dealing with death, just dealing with the impact of chait, is only fully understood only at a later point in time in the future, and that is what a person focuses on in Yom Kippur. Okay, let's go to another idea. Moshe Rabbeinu, he comes into the Mishkan and he sees that the chatos for Rosh Chodesh has been burnt. And we have to remember that on this day, it was Rosh Chodesh Nisan, there were three chatos that were offered. There was the chatos that was offered by the Nasi Nachshon ben Aminadov, Lamata Yehuda, because every single day, this was the first day of Nisan. And on the first day of Nisan, the Nisim began to bring special korbanos. So on this day, Nachshon ben Aminadov, Lamata Yehuda, he offered a carbon chatos, special carbon chatos. And it was also the eighth day of the Miluim, and there was a special chatos offered on the eighth day of the Miluim. And it was also Rosh Chodesh Nisan. And on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, a person has an obligation to bring a carbon chatos. That's what we say in the Korbanos. You bring a carbon chatos on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Moshe, now chatos, what is the law? Chatos is eaten by the Kohanim. It's Kodesh Kodashim. And it's eaten by the Kohanim. Moshe Rabbeinu, he hears that Nadav Avihu died. He comes into the Mishkan, and he sees what happened, and he notices that the chatos of Nachshon was eaten by the Kohanim, the chatos of the eighth day of the Milum was eaten by the Kohanim, but the chatos that was offered as a Rosh Chodesh chatos for the Musaf of Rosh Chodesh was not eaten; it was burnt, it was destroyed, it was completely burnt on the Mizbeach. Moshe, the pasuk says, "Ve'isir hachatos doroish darash Moshe v'hinei sorof." Moshe investigates what happened to it. Well, how come I don't see Kohanim eating it? And he's told, "We burnt it on the surface of the mizbeach." Moshe gets angry. Vayiksef. Moshe gets angry. Why is it burnt? Don't you know that today is Rosh Chodesh and this carbon must be eaten by the Kohanim? So Aaron says to him that Moshe Rabbeinu, did you not teach us? Did you not teach us that since we are in a state of aninus, since Nadav Avihu died, we are mourners, we're not allowed to eat kachim in a state of aninus, of mourning. So Moshe then says, but what do you mean? But you ate the chatos of the Miluim and the chatos of Nachshon ben Aminadav. So he says to them, Aaron says back, but there's a difference between the two. Because the chatos of Nachshon ben Aminadav and the Miluim is once in a lifetime. It's once in history. It's only today, on the first day of Nisan, the inauguration, the second year in the Midbar. That's it. It's only once. It can happen once. It's Kodshei Shah. Whereas the Rosh Chodesh chatos, no big deal. So we won't eat it today. But there's going to be Chodesh Iyar. Only Chodesh Sivan. There'll be other Chodashim. Next year, it's called Kodshei Doros. There's a difference between Kodshei Shoha and Kodshei Doros. Things which are once in history must be eaten even in the state of Aninus. Things that happen occasionally, every so often, once a month, those are in the category called Kodshei Doros. They're not so special. It happens every 30 days. So those type of karbanos, we are not allowed to eat in a state of aninus. And you, Moshe Rabbeinu, taught us this. So Moshe says, you're right, I forgot. You're right, Hashem told this to me. He told me, and I taught you this halacha. I forgot. I was upset. I was angry. And when a person gets angry, his mind is not functioning 100%. Moshe got angry. He forgot the halacha. And Moshe admitted to Aaron, you're right, I made a mistake. I forgot the halacha. And Chazal give Moshe Rabbeinu high praise. He was not embarrassed to say that I forgot the halacha. Average person, a person of Moshe's stature, normally would be embarrassed to say he forgot the halacha. You make him an excuse. Moshe Rabbeinu was a tzaddik, he was humble, he admitted that he forgot. Now the question is, how could it be that Moshe Rabbeinu, the Av HaNavim, would forget such a halacha? There has to be something deeper. It's not just a simple matter he forgot. There has to be a reason why Moshe Rabbeinu forgot. There has to be something a little bit deeper that will give us an approach to understand how Moshe Rabbeinu could have come to forget such a halacha.
But did his anger cause him to forget?
Chazal say that his anger.
If not for the anger, he would have.
But just because he got angry, you're right. It's not. The question is better than the answer. You're right. But I saw an idea. There's an idea I want to bring out, which I saw. I don't even know where I saw. This is very. It's very profound. I think it's a profound idea, and it lightens the question at least. Opens up the issue a little bit more. It doesn't fully answer the question. And the idea is, so what's going on? Moshe taught Aaron and the Kohanim the halacha. There's a difference between Kodshei Shoh and Kodshei Doros. A difference between a carbon that's offered once in history and a carbon that's offered every 30 days. Different set of rules. If an Ovel can eat the meat of this carbon. Moshe forgot. How can Moshe forget? Aaron remembered. Aaron probably was also very upset. Aaron's two children died. There was a lot of turmoil. There was a lot of confusion. It was a very difficult day. Two tzaddikim died. So I saw this idea. I don't know where I saw it. I saw this one of the somewhere. Moshe Rabbeinu was on a very high level, and when a person is on a very high level, it's not just true for Moshe. It's true for any person who's a Baal Madrega. Even though things happen often, we go through the Chagim, right? We went through Purim. Soon to come Pesach. How do you look at Pesach? How do you look at Chanukah? How do you look at Parsha Shmini? New Parsha Shmini. Last year was Parsha Shmini. This year's Parsha Shmini. And then Yirtz Hashem, which will be good and well, next year will be Parsha Shmini. It comes around. We don't have to take Parsha Shmini so seriously because there'll be another Parsha Shmini. Shabbos. No, there was Shabbos last week. There's going to be a Shabbos next week. There's another Shabbos. Everything in life. Things come up. A wedding. Oh, a wedding. How often do you get married in life? Only get married once. Oh, a wedding. That's something that's much more important, much more significance. Right? That's a big event. A bar mitzvah. You only have one chance. Okay, if people are murmuring about a wedding. but a bar mitzvah. Wow, that's a one-time event. There are things that happen once. A person who's a Baal Madrega appreciates that when even things that have come around very often, you treat it like a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. The Parsha Shmini that's going to present itself this week will never come around again. Oh, but next week we'll read the same Parsha, we'll read the same Kriya, maybe we'll have even a better Baal Kriya, we'll know the Rashi's next week better, maybe it'll be... It doesn't matter. This moment in time, this experience is once in a lifetime. Even though it's true, the pattern a pattern repeats itself. When you live a holy life, every moment is precious. Every moment is an opportunity that will never come around again. Even though the background, the thing, idea, the concept repeats itself multiple times. By Moshe Rabbeinu, there was confusion. Because by Moshe Rabbeinu, there's really no such thing in his mind as a difference between Kodshei Shoh and Kodshei Doros. Today is Rosh Chodesh. Today we're going to bring a Karbon Musaf. I'm going to daven the Musaf Rosh Chodeshim Li'amcha Nosata Zman Kapara L'chol Toldosam. Zman Kapara. The opportunity you have in front of you, it's unique. The excitement, the experience is so overwhelming, it's like it never happened before or never will happen again. By a great person, there's a very fine point between holy things that occur multiple times in your life and things that happen once in a lifetime. Moshe Rabbeinu just took Moshe Rabbeinu a small amount of kas, a small amount of turmoil to get thrown off and lose track. There's a difference between Kodshei Shon and Kodshei Doros. The average person, it's no big deal. A person that's not on such a Baal Madrega, you right away understand, so there won't be this year, so there'll be next year. There won't be this month, there'll be next month. What?
But Aaron was not.
Aaron relative to Moshe. Mm-hmm. Aaron relative to Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu was the most exalted person in Klal Yisrael.
No, but there's one extra aspect. Who was going to be asked to eat that carbon? That was Aharon, not Moshe.
Okay,
Moshe gives over the halacha. Okay, you give over the halacha to somebody else. All right, it's your
okay, but still, in all, the halacha is the halacha. Moshe Rabbeinu, you made a mistake in the halacha. You're right. The answer is not a perfect answer, but there is something here. There's something tangible here that you have to look in life. That every day is not just another day. Today is a day that will never happen again.
Or is it the halacha itself? If Moshe Rabbeinu is on a level, he's not the practical applicator of what the halacha is to eat it. Aharon is. But to him, it's like you violated Allah.
You're right. I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying. But there's something here. Today is not just another day. A person who takes life seriously, every moment is an opportunity that will never come back again. Every moment is Kodshei Shoha. Every moment is a moment that's shoha once in a lifetime. So that was the mistake. Moshe Rabbeinu's excitement in Chavivos, in Kachim, that line was blurred when he was thrown off. A regular person doesn't have that problem because he doesn't have that same degree of sensitivity. Okay. Okay. Now, also to elaborate just slightly upon this idea. Chazal tell us that the words Darosh Darash Moshe is the middle of the Torah, right? Darosh Darash Moshe is the center of the Torah as far as words are concerned. Now, just to run through very quickly, we all know that if we count the words of the Torah, it's not so. Darosh Darash, not the middle of the word. So I always say over this, the very fond of this idea is that in the Torah, I don't remember the numbers anymore, but every so often you have two words that are next to each other. Like, Vayom Hashem el Avraham, Avraham, Noach, Noach. You have many to Yav in the Torah, many times where two words are spelled exactly the same, they're back to back. So in the Torah, how many times do we have two words that are back to back? Something, I don't know, I remember the exact number, 80, 90 times. And one of them is Darosh Darash, even though we pronounce the two words differently, they're spelled exactly the same. If you take all the times in the Torah where two words have spelled exactly the same, that are right next to each other, and you find the one that's right in the middle, it's Darosh Darash Moshe. So that's one approach to explain why Darosh Darash is the center of the Torah.
Let's
say there will be 91.
Yeah.
Argument's sake. I don't remember the numbers.
Oh,
so let's say in the Torah you have 91 times where there are two words next to each other which are spelled exactly the same, even though we may pronounce them differently. The one that's in the middle from all these sets of words is Darosh Darash. So but the point that Chazal make is Darosh Darash is the center of the Torah. When we deal with the center, we deal with something which is this essence. The penimus of an item is the essence of the item. When Chazal want to know, what is the essence of the Torah? Tell me the penimus HaTorah, the essence of the Torah. Chazal say it's Darosh Darash. What does that mean exactly? So there, one interpretation is the first Moshe Rabbeinu, The ability to understand this idea that we just explained. Moshe Rabbeinu, he forgot that there's a difference between Kodshei Shah and Kodshei Doros. Moshe Rabbeinu, he saw in front of him three karbanos. Two were eaten, one was burnt. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't understand why is that so. But one is Kodshei Doros, the answer is obvious. One is Kodshei Doros, and one is Kodshei Shah. Moshe Rabbeinu, that distinction was blurred. That there's one carbon which happens over and over again, and there's one carbon that's once in a lifetime. This is the essence of the Torah. The Torah wants us to appreciate that in holy matters, you should blur that distinction. You have to have a basic background, a basic environment where there's an order, where there are things which happen over and over, and there are things which happen occasionally. But a person's avoda in appreciating Torah is to be like Moshe, Darosh Darash, to come to a level where everything that happens, every day that passes, every moment that passes, is unique, is special. It should not be in your eyes that, oh, big deal, I'll waste today because tomorrow's another day. I'll waste this week because I have another week. I'll waste this year because I'll have another week. The essence, the pnimius of the Torah is, be like Moshe Rabbeinu, make that mistake. The Torah wants you to make that mistake. The Torah wants you to be a person that's like Moshe Rabbeinu, that's Darosh Darash, that does not have a distinction between Kodshei Doros and Kodshei Shah. Every moment should be precious. Even though the moments, the days, the events occur occasionally, over and over, don't get used. Don't let your Torah be mitzvahs, anashim, limuda. Don't let life just become rote. Make a mistake. It's a very profound idea. How often do you want in life to make a mistake? Torah is telling the pinimius of the Torah is to be like a person who make a mistake. This was a good mistake. It was a mistake to appreciate things even though they occur over and over. Okay, now before we go to Parashas Par, let me just tell you one word. I know I told this for last year, but I'm very fond of this part. I want to repeat it. The end of the parasha tells us, "V'hiskadishtem v'yisem kedoshim." You shall be holy. V'hiskadishtem v'yisem kedoshim. Okay. Ki ani Hashem hamal eschem yeretz mitzrayim liyos lachem lokim v'yisem kedoshim. That's not the pasuk before. Ki ani Hashem elokechem v'hiskadishtem v'yisem kedoshim ki kedoshani. Be holy. Why is the repetition? So Chazal, the famous Chazal, v'hiskadishtem refers to mayim rishonim. Before you eat bread, you have an obligation to wash netilas yodayim. V'hiyisem kidoshim. And before you bench, you have an obligation to wash mayim acharoinim. So these two forms of kedusha refers to mayim rishonim and mayim acharoinim. Mayim rishonim netilas yodayim. Mayim acharoinim is as before you bench. But the Bali Musa say, I know the one who says this is Rav Meir Shapira. I mean, the one founder of the Daf Yomi, he has a powerful Musa Vart on this Pasuk, on this Chazal. What's Mayim Rishonim? When a woman goes to mikvah before she conceives, a human being. What's Mayim Achronim? When a person dies and the Chevra Kadisha is toivel the body in a mikvah. And the Pasuk is telling us, live a holy life from beginning to end. And beginning means from the time of conception to the time of death. Its conception is preceded with mayim rishonim, mikvah, and it concludes, life concludes with tefillah b'mikvah by the Chevra Kadisha. That's the mayim acharonim. Live a holy life, the Torah concludes, from beginning to end, and then you'll be in good shape. Okay, now let's go to Parashas Para. Parashas Para. Let's go to Parashas Para. Parashas Para is always after Purim. Chazal say, really, the truth is, Parashas Para should be after Parashas HaChodesh. We have four parashas: Parashas Shkolim, Parashas Zohar, Parashas. Parshas Para and Parshas Chodesh. Chazal say really there should be Parshas Chodesh, and after we have Parshas Chodesh, then we should have Parshas Para. We should focus on Tahara, on purity. But because Tahara is such an important concept, Chazal say, you know what? Let's do Parshas Para before Parshas Chodesh. Now, why is that so? Okay, so one reason I thought the fascinating reason is, because Parashas Par has to come after Purim. Because Purim, there was collateral damage. What was the collateral damage of Purim? Esther was taken to Achashverosh. Esther, when Purim was over, where was Esther? She was stuck. And the whole miracle came about through an act which is not a very pleasant, not a very, something we like to talk about, where a Jewish girl was abducted, was stolen from her husband, Mordechai, and taken to a guy to live with a guy. That's not a very good thing. It's not a good thing. And that, to some degree, captures the problem with the Purim story, is that we were not on a level where we were deserving of a miracle which came through tahara, came through purity. The miracle of Purim, we were in Golis, and we were faced with destruction, and a miracle, we survived the Golis, and we were now allowed to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. But it came about through forces of Tumah. We can't deny the fact that there were koichos of Tumah that were involved in allowing us to survive. We survived. It's a miracle. It's a Yom Tov in Klal Yisrael. Like, we do most of Arvah, Simcha, V'Sasim, V'Kar. But now, we have to repair the collateral damage. And that's why we need to remember there has to be tahara. Many times, the Musar Haskel is really, Parashas, make it very clear, it's a Gemara. Parashas Para should really be in Chodesh Nisan. We have to realize that in life, sometimes we have no choice, we make sacrifices. We do things that are not ideal because we have no choice. That's the way life is. We don't live in a perfect world. You have to make sacrifices. But you have to realize it's not perfect. You have to acknowledge that not everything that we do to survive, which we're allowed to do to survive, al pi halacha, is always ideal. And that, at some point in time, has to be rectified. After Purim, there has to be tahara as a recognition that the miracle of Purim, although it was great, and it's a yom tov, they'll never be bottled, we recognize that the Baruch Hu was present in the Hashkocha Pratis, the Yad Hashem is there, even in Teva, but things are not always ideal. There are sacrifices that we make, and that sacrifice requires tahara. Okay, that's one approach to why Parashas Parah is after Purim. Now let's go to another idea. What is the reason why we lane, why we have Paraduma in general? Paraduma, according to many, we have after davening, there are sheish zechiros. One of the things the Torah requires us to remember every single day, not everyone does this, is to remember, it's a question of really mechuyav to do so, is to remember the egel. Okay, Hashem told us, don't forget that you worship the egel, you did a terrible sin, and you need to do tshuva forever for worshipping the egel. One of the means, the methods of kapara for the egel is the para aduma. Chazal make it very clear that the para is the mother of the egel. Let the mother come and clean up for its child. It's clear as day that the process of bringing a para aduma is part of the process of being mechaper for the chay to egel. Being that we are mechuyiv to remember the chay to egel, this is a technique in remembering the chay to egel through the tahara, the kapara of the chay to egel. That's why some are of the opinion that reading a parashas para indeed is a mitzvah de'oraisa. Okay, and some shuls will make an announcement that people should have kavana to answer the brachas and to listen to the carefully, because according to some opinion, it's deraisa. Why is it deraisa? It's not deraisa because of the para adum itself. It's deraisa because of the egel aspect of the para aduma. Now, let's go back to the shoresh of the cheto egel. Why the klal Yisrael worship the egel? How did it happen? They worship the egel because they were impatient. Kizeh Moshe ho'ish. Lo yadanu mehoyelo. Moshe was late. Vayar ha'am ki vosheish Moshe lovo. People were looking at their watch. You ever seen shul? They're looking at their watch. It's time to daven. Ki vosheish Moshe lovo. Where is Moshe? Moshe told us 40 days. It's 40 days on the dot. Where is Moshe? Where is the Moshiach shel Yisrael? Where is our Savior? Where is he? It's not here. Is not here. We need a replacement. We need to do something. Have faith. If Moshe said he's going to Shemayim, Moshe got you this far. He got you pretty. He took you a long way. Just give him a day. You know, just give him a couple of 6 hours. Not of 6 hours. Give him a day. Right? No. We don't have patience. We don't have patience. Aaron, Chor, are you going to help us? No, I'm not going to help you. Okay, your life is over. Aaron. Want to happen to you? You'd be like, "Court, no, okay, Aaron's, I'll help you." They lacked patience. We're now entering into Chodesh Nisan. Next week it's Parshas HaChodesh. After Parshas Parah, after Shabbos, starting Sunday, we're already gearing up. It's not yet Rosh Chodesh, it's not even Shabbos Mevarchim, but it's beginning the Parsha, beginning with Parshas Tazria. We're entering into Parshas HaChodesh. It's the Haschalah for the Yemei HaGeula. Parshas HaChodesh, then Chodesh Nisan, and then we enter into Pesach. Every year, the Or of Gula comes down to this world. B'Nisan Nigalu, u'B'Nisan Asidin Lihi Goel. We were redeemed in Nisan. Chazal say it's going to happen again. We're going to be redeemed in Nisan. What is the most important ingredient we need for redemption? Well, let's go to the animamins. Animamin, Be'mun Shlema, B'Vias HaMashiach. If the Rambam would have stopped, the Rambam didn't write actually the Ani Rambam. So I wrote in the Perush HaMishnayis, but he wrote it in three places. The Rambam wrote two places, but the one with the Ani Rambam's, if it would have stopped the Ani Rambam, the Emunah Shlem, V'yas HaMashiach, that would be fine. No one would blink. That would be one of the 13 principles. They would be very, very happy. But whoever wrote the Ani Rambam's went further. The Afal Pisha Yismanea, even though He's late. Kivoshe Shmoshe Lovo. He's late. Where is he? Im Kol Zeh. He's late. Achakelo. B'chol Yom Sheyav. I'm not giving up. Right? If that would not have been part of the Nusach, you wouldn't even know the difference. But it's part of the Nusach. It's part of the Emunah. It's part of the 13 principles of faith. You have to have patience. Don't get excited. Don't get worked up. This is what we need. We need for Geula. Geula doesn't come in a moment's notice. It's a process. Be'ita achishena. In the right time, the many drushim, but even be'ita, even when it comes in there's a time, it'll happen quickly. But it's a process. There's a process to Geula. You can't force Mashiach to come before the right time. You need to have patience. You need to be receptive for its arrival. Therefore, we have to have Parah Aduma before we come to the Chodesh of Geula. Because if we don't have patience, then there'll never be Geula. Moshe Rabbeinu, the Chei To'egel, the Parah Aduma is Mechaper on the Chei To'egel. The Shoresh of the Chei To'egel was, we didn't have the Emunah, Afal Pisha Yismanea, Im Kol Ze Achakelo. That was what was lacking in the Chei, in the Moshe Rabbeinu's arrival. And because of that, we had the Chei To'egel. We have to do tshuva. The tshuva for that is paraduma. So every time we focus on the paraduma, what are we really focusing on? We're really focusing on the concept of afal pisha yismanea im kol ze achakelo. I have not lost my faith in the goyel, in the redeemer, not in the goyel rishon Moshe Rabbeinu, and not in the goyel acharon in the Melech HaMashiach. When you have that in your hand, now we can enter into the Zman of Geula, because Geula has to come in the right time. We have to be in the proper frame of mind. Everything has to be properly laid out. It's essential that Parah Aduma come before Chodesh Nisan. It's a prerequisite. Okay, let's go to another idea. Okay, one more idea for Parashas Parah. Okay, just a little bit, we have to go in steps. Let's take a step back. We have two holidays. Many holidays, but among all the holidays, we have a holiday called Shmini Atzeres and a holiday called Shavuos. Okay, Shmini Atzeres takes place on which day? The eighth day of the holiday. There are 7 days of Sukkot. Uvayoyim Hashmini Atzeres Tiyalochem. Shavuos takes place on which day of the month? On the 50th day, not the month, the 50th day of a cycle. We have Pesach. And after Pesach, the first day of Pesach, Hashem says, "Start lechem imocharas haShabbos. You shall count 7 weeks, 50 days. We count 7 times 7, and then we come to day 50. We come to the Yom Tov of Shavuos. Shavuos is the atzeres of Pesach. It's the end. It's the chasima of the Yom Tov of Pesach. Tavdunis lokim alahar is the tafkid of Yitzias Mitzrayim was to come to the Zman of Matan Torah." Shemini Atzeres is the Gemar of Sukkos. We have 7 days of Sukkos, and we wrap it up with Shemini Atzeres. What's the difference? Well, one is expressed in terms of the number 8, and one is expressed in the term in the number 50. Okay, these are very abstract ideas. What is the combination of 8, Ches and Nun? We once discussed this idea a long time ago. Ches and Nun is Chein. Chein. The two concluding holidays for the year, Shmini Atzeres for Sukkos and the Shalosh Regalim. The Shalosh Regalim are captured within these two periods. The fall and the spring. The fall is conclusion of Atzeres, and the spring concludes with Shavuos. It concludes with an Atzeres, one on the 8th day, one on the 50th day. Chein, grace, matnas chein. Let's keep that in mind. What is the difference between the Yom Tov of Sukkos and the combination of Pesach and Shavuos? So there are 100 differences, and so well, let's just focus on one prat. And throughout two terms, I'm going to come back to this. We'll come to Pari in a moment. There's a term called Kedusha, and there's a term called Tahara. Say about a holy prayer. He's a Kodesh v'Tahar, Tahar v'Kodesh. What is the difference between Kedusha, holiness, and purity? Tahar. Person's tummy goes to the mikvah, he comes out of the mikvah, he's tahar. So what does that mean? He's tahar, he's pure. On the other hand, person is chol, he's mundane, and then he becomes kodosh, kodesh. What exactly is the difference between the two? So I want to throw out the following yesod. It's not my yesod. It's hard to really find where it's rooted. We'll try to go through some ideas to elaborate. Kedusha means to set something apart. Separation. Mm-hmm. I have something that's mundane, and I have something that's holy. There are 6 days of the week which are mundane. You do your daily activities. And then there's a day that's kadosh, that's set aside for Hashem. Set aside, separation. Now here's the chiddush. Tahara is not separation. Tahara is transformation. What does that mean? Tahara is to take something which is mundane, or something which is tame, which is contaminated, and to transform it itself into something holy. It's a higher level in one respect than Kedusha. Kedusha is separation. You live a ghetto life. There is a world out there, and I'm in here. Separation. You separate one thing from another. This is chol, this is kodesh. Tahara is to take what is contaminated, or certainly to take something which is mundane, and to elevate and to make it holy. Now, let's go to Sukkos. Now, by the way, what's the bigger number? What's the more significant number? The number 8 or the number 50? Obviously, the number 50 is a much more significant number, because 50 basically is 7 cycles. Seven cycles, it comes after 7 cycles of 8. Yeah, what is 8? 8 is really just what comes after 7. 7 represents shleimus, completion in this world. 8, you've gone above that. You celebrate perfection. 50 is we've done this 7 times. You have intensified this cycle 7 times to come to a level of it's a higher level. Now let's go to Sukkos. What is Sukkos? Sukkos is expressed in terms of 7 and 8. What are you doing on Sukkos? Sukkos is a time of the year of holiness, separation. Say midiras keva, get out of your house. Don't make your house into a mishkan. It's not what we want in Sukkos. We don't want you to transform your house into a Beis HaMikdash. Get out of your house. Leave. Say midiras keva. And enter the koneis l'dira sarai, go into a sukkah. What is the sukkah? The sukkah is the anani hakavot. in Hashem's house. You are separated from the world, from the mundane existence. In the Midbar, we left Mitzrayim, we left the place of contamination, and we entered into Hashem's holy Shechina. Lechtech achalai b'midbar lazrua. We were in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's clouds. We were separated. For avdol haschem min ha'amim. Separation. Sukkos is a zman of kedusha. And that kedusha climaxes with Shmini Atzeres, which is, we've gone to 7 days of Kedusha, and now we celebrate, okay, you go back into the house, let's not go with that, just focus on the basic yourself. What is Shavuos? What is Shavuos? Shavuos, you have this theme, it's a process. We're going, we left Mitzrayim, we're separated, and we count 7 cycles of 7 until we come to Shavuos. Shavuos, what do we do on Shavuos? We do nothing special. We don't go anywhere, there are no mitzvahs, and the entire essence of Shavuos is captured in Chazal's words, there's a machlokes when it comes to Pesach and the Sukkot, if it's kulu l'Hashem, kulu lochem. On Shavuos, everyone agrees you have to enjoy yourself. On Shavuos, you have to sanctify the mundane. On Shavuos, everyone, all the opinions of the Gemara, everyone agrees that Shavuos is a zman when shtei halechem. Shtei halechem represents bread, represents food. You have to take what's mundane and you have to sanctify it. Be'atzeres binin lochem. Shavuos, the process of going from Pesach and coming to Shavuos, is a process of tahara. Not of separation, but of transformation. To take what is mundane and to elevate it, to make it, to sanctify it. That's a higher level. That's a different, that requires multiple cycles of 7 times 7 to come to 50. Okay, so we have over here these two ideas. Kedusha utahara. Sukkot is a zman of kedusha, separation, and it concludes with 8. So, Shavuos is a zman, the process of tahara, where we leave the tomb of Mitzrayim, we work on ourselves, we go through the sphere, we come to the Monday Yom Tov of Shavuos. Shavuos, we receive the Torah. The purpose of the Torah is in order to sanctify. To sanctify, there's a degree of sanctification, transformation of the mundane. Be'atzeres b'melachem. Now, with that is our hakdama. Now, let's come to Parshas Parah. Parshas Parah comes after Purim. Purim, let's take a step back. In Chazal, we find two things were given to Klal Yisrael in order to be mechaper for the ego. Two separate things. What are the two things that were given to Klal Yisrael to mechaper for the ego? The Binyan HaMishkan. It's clear that that's explicit Chazal. That after Klal Yisrael sinned, Hashem said to Moshe, I forgive you. After Sukkot, what happened after Sukkot? Hashem said, okay, build the Mishkan. Build the Mishkan. The building of the Mishkan will serve as a kapara for the Chei To'ega. And then there's something else that Hashem gave us for kapara for the ego, and that is paraduma. Let the mother come and cleanse her child. Isn't it fascinating that this year we have both in the same parasha? This year we read Parsha Shmini, and Parsha Shmini is Parsha Parah. What is Parsha Shmini? The conclusion of the Binyan HaMishkan. The conclusion of the Binyan HaMishkan is the Kapara, the inauguration of the Mishkan. What is the Mishkan? The Kapara for the Chedo Egel. And what else do we do this week? When we finish reading about the conclusion of the Mishkan, we take out another statement that we parish Chukas, and we read about Paraduma, which is also a Kapara for the Chedo Egel. Now, when did the Mishkan, when was it concluded? On which day? On the 8th day. Vahi Bayom, it's on Nisan 1, but which is called in the Parsha, Vahi Bayom Shmini Ches. Paraduma is a paradox. Tomei becomes Tar, Tar becomes Tomei. And what a Chazal, what's the code word Chazal used for Paraduma? The number 50. It's the 50th level of understanding. I'm almost finished. It's the 50th level of understanding. Shlomo HaMelech said, Amarti ech kama v'hi rechayka mimeni. Shlomo Melech only reached 49 levels of chachma, whereas Moshe Rabbeinu reached the 50th. Moshe Rabbeinu understood 50. Isn't that amazing? The two things which Hashem gave us to atone for the chet ha'egel was the binyan ha'mishkan, which climaxed in a number, okay, this is a little esoteric, in the number 8, Vahi Bayom Hashmini, Ches, and also the Paraduma, which is expressed in Chazal as something which is beyond our understanding, which is the number 50, Ches and Nun, those same two numbers, Chain. Moshe Rabbeinu, when he asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when Moshe Rabbeinu asked Hashem to forgive Klal Yisrael for the Chedeg, what was the word which appears 6 times in Parashas Kisisa? The word that Moshe used repeatedly in his bakasha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to forgive Klal Yisrael for the Chet HaEgel was Hashem show me chein, show Klal Yisrael. Okay, 6 times in Parash Kisisa. And what Hashem say? Solachti chidvarecha. Build a Mishkan and a Paraduma. Mishkan concludes on Bayom Hashmini. Paraduma is the 50th level of understanding. Hashem says, you want chain, you got it. I'll give you the Mishkan, I'll give you the Paraduma, you got your chain. What is these two concepts now? What is chain? Try to tell me, what is chain exactly? You like someone. Why do you like a person? Why do you like a person? So now we know, now we have an answer. Now we have an answer. Because what is the Mishkan? What is the essence of the Mishkan? The essence of the Mishkan is, I told you there are two themes, two different words. This Kedusha and this Tahara. What is the Mishkan all about? Kedusha. Separation. There's the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKodashim. You're not transforming anything. It's a place that's off limits. No one can go there. The Kohen Gadol can't even go to the Kodesh HaKodashim except for once a year. Kohen Hedi goes there. It's off limits. It's separation. Kedusha. Paraduma. Where do you go for the Paraduma? The Paraduma is like a carbon. The Paraduma is slaughtered where? It's a carbon. You slaughter it outside the Beis HaMikdash. You do Hazah. You're standing on Harazes. You're standing in the cemetery. And you're doing Hazah. You're doing Hazah towards the Beis HaMikdash.
It wasn't a cemetery.
Okay, it wasn't a cemetery then. Are you doing Hazah? What are they going to do now? Are you doing Hazah towards the Beis HaMikdash? You're doing Hazah. And then you're turning, and then you're burning it outside the Beis HaMikdash. Everything is happening. And then you're putting on a person in order to purify a person that's Tamei so he can go into the Beis HaMikdash. It's the opposite. The whole essence of Para Aduma is Tahara. Who's the one that does? They were metane. They were so makbid, like against the tzedokim, a tful yom. A person is a shtickle tame. The person that's going to be doing the entire process is tame. It's metara. Because what is tahara? Tahara is not separation. It's to embrace tama for the purpose of transformation, of sanctification. It's just the opposite. What is chayin? You know what chayin is? A person that's a kadosh v'tahar is moli chayin. That's the secret. You say about a person, you go in shidduch. Tell me about this bacher. He's moli chayin. What does that mean, he's moli chayin? He's good looking, he's tall, short, heavy, thin, he has a very wealthy father. What does it mean? What does it mean, he's moli chayin? What does it mean, he's moli chayin? Means he's a kadosh v'tahar. He's a holy person, and he's a pure person. What do you mean he's holy? He knows how to separate bin kodesh l'chol. There are things that are chol, and he knows there are things that are kodesh. That requires great skill. He's also tahar. He knows how to take things that are mundane, he knows them, and now take things that are dangerous, right? Tools, technology that is dangerous, and he knows how to be metired. He knows how to use it for good purposes. He knows how to embrace things which have potential for harm. Tahara. That's the taich of chayin. Chayin, there are these parallel worlds. There is ches nun. There is sukkis, we're summing up now. There's sukkis and there's pesach. There is the ches and there is a nun. Ches is separation. Go into your sukkah. That's kedusha. Kedusha is expressed in the number ches. There is tahara. This is Shavuos. You have to eat. You have to enjoy yourself. You have to bring the shtei halachim. You have to have food. You have to embrace this world. You can't live like a malach. You have to be metahir the world. That's tahar. That's a high level. That's 50. That's nun. That's chayin. What is the kapar for the egel? Hashem, Moshe says, I'll give you your chayin. Build a mishkan. Today's Yom HaShmini. The culmination of the mishkan, kedusha, separation, that's Shmini. There's also tahara, para aduma. Para aduma is done b'chutz. It's a korban that's offered outside the Beis HaMikdash, giving man the opportunity to purify this world, to embrace things which are not 100% and elevate. That's why para aduma comes after Purim. Because Purim is a miracle which occurred in Chutz Liaretz. It's a miracle which we recognize in the Hashgacha practice in the Teva, in nature. There's an ability to take nature and sanctify the nature. All of these ideas, they come together. Okay, that one.